Hello, and welcome back to the Talent Talk podcast with your host, Nick Lewis.
Hello.
And Dean Grassi. And today we are joined by our first alum, 2014 grad Garrett Hunter. Garrett has the most recent district championship for Tyrone football and played college football before starting his new music career. Today we will hear from the man himself. Welcome, Garrett Hunter. Garrett,
How are you? I'm good, man. How are you?
Well, we're doing great here in Tyrone. It started snowing today, sadly. I bet it's not snowing in LA.
It's not snowing in LA. It did rain yesterday, though, but no snow.
Huh. All right. Well, Nick, you have the first question.
All right, Garrett. So tell us about your time here at Tyrone. What were you a part of, clubs and sports, and what was your overall experience?
I don't remember a lot of – I probably wasn't part of a lot of clubs, but sports-wise, I played football from – the time I could play football to the time I couldn't, and I threw javelin and track, I think.
Okay.
Sophomore, junior, and senior year, and I think that is the extent of my like sports activities. But I mean, obviously, like you were saying, I went on and I played 2 years of football at Duquesne too.
Wow.
Right. So tell us what made you decide Duquesne and your decision to play football there. What drew you into that college?
Where I was applying to school, which is funny enough because I don't do this at all now, but was completely like dependent on what major I was going into. I wanted to go for biomedical engineering. And Duquesne had a really good program that only 21 people got accepted into. And initially I didn't get accepted. So I was going to West Virginia and I was going to try to walk on there. But then like a couple months before I would have went, I was like the 22nd person to be selected for that program, and one of the people that initially like applied and accepted dropped out. So I got accepted into Duquesne, and then I had already been in talks with them about walking on even before I got like denied originally for biomedical engineering. But anyways, that's what I went and did. So because it was a better program in West Virginia, and I could for sure play football there, that's why I ended up going to Duquesne.
Right on.
So how did you get interested somewhere along there with music? Like, how were you introduced into, you know, hey, you could become a musical engineer? You know, how'd you learn that?
Well, I played, there's probably some weird Tyrone Eagle-Eye footage you can find of me playing, like, guitar at one of the assemblies in, like, 2014. But I've played guitar since the time I was 12 or so. And when I was 18, I got a program called FL Studio because I wanted to start recording myself playing guitar. But that was also like a really rap beat heavy like program. That's mostly what it's used for. And I also was getting in like way more into rap at the time too. So I started kind of doing both. I was playing guitar and recording myself in it. And then I was also like making beats mostly to play guitar over at the time. And it just kind of developed into like me doing that more than going to class. And then I got like way more into like wanting to do songwriting and like produce songs, not just me shredding guitar over like some drums. I wanted to like start working on stuff that like would come out.
Right.
And then the engineering was mostly just a way like that's like the most sensible way to start making money or to get yourself in the door in a room when you want to work as a producer, because no one really wants to just use, not, I don't want to say no one, because it happens to people, but it's really tough to get people just to start using beats or wanting to link up and write songs with you when you can't even record them if you wrote one with them. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's just kind of like, it's almost a necessity. And so that's why I got into that.
So you said we may have a video of you in the rookie days strumming the guitar.
Oh yeah, no, you definitely, it's still up. I think I have the bleached hair because it was post district championship. I think it was the Christmas assembly after the district championship.
That's right.
So
you are the most
I would have like half blonde hair.
You are the most recent district champion here at Tyrone. We tried, but
yeah.
we failed.
Yeah, no. That's crazy. I feel like you guys should have got one, but you know, it is what it is.
You know what they say, Eagle Eye is everywhere. Today we're in LA.
Eagle Eye is everywhere.
Yep.
You can't escape it.
So so why did you decide to leave college, and what did your friends and family think of your decision? And
so before I even dropped out, I think I switched my major twice. I went into poli sci for some reason. I thought I might, it was like a 4-week span where I thought I was going to be a lawyer for some reason. And then I realized that is the most outrageous thing I've ever said. I don't want to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
And there was a point in time where I was thinking about switching my major to music at Duquesne too, but Duquesne's like a much more like formal training kind of thing. It would be like if you wanted to be a jazz guitar player, it would be a good thing to do. So I literally skipped my interview with like the music department there and was like, I kind of just decided I didn't want to do anything the school had to offer. And even when I dropped out, I was a little in between maybe just finding, like kind of taking a semester off and going to Penn State. But really, I just kind of wanted to buy myself some time to really figure out how I was going to do it. Because about the point I dropped out, I was pretty certain that I was just going to make my money off of music and I was going to figure out a way to do it. And, but yeah, my friends and family were all like overall supportive. My mom at first was like she wasn't like, I didn't drop out without my mom saying I could, but
yeah.
She didn't tell me I could until I was like, listen, I'm super, super like depressed and unhappy at school. I don't really want to be doing any of this. Half the time I'm skipping my class and skipping homework to work on this stuff anyways.
Right.
And she was pretty much just like, yeah, you can do it, but you got to like kind of financially figure things out for yourself. And that's kind of what that's what I spent the first couple months, honestly years figuring out, but I'm kind of, I've figured it out a little bit now, but. Yeah, everyone was really supportive. They were kind of like, listen, like if it was anyone else but you, you'd be like, I'd be more worried, but like you're not going to let yourself like just do nothing. And I was like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's why I'm doing it.
Yeah. I like, why spend money on college if you're not even going to class, I guess? You probably made this
money
decision
exactly.
There.
I mean, I definitely should have been. I would definitely tell people to go to class if they're going to college. But
yeah,
there was a point in time when I knew the football wasn't going well either. Like there was like some, you know, I wasn't in love with the coaching staff. Like the program like does well and everything, but there was like some things that I didn't super love about it that were making it not very fun anymore. And that combined with the fact that like I had immediately off rip. Like kind of gotten behind on some classes. I had to retake like that really high level calculus after my first semester, which completely like messed up the entire 4 or 5 year plan of when I was supposed to graduate with a biomedical engineering degree. There's just a bunch of stuff that was really stressful. And I was like, nope, I don't think this is it.
Yeah. So you, we've spoken before and you told me about a friend named JD. What part did he play in your decision making?
So this is, JD's one of the big reasons I'm really glad I went to Duquesne, because me and JD were in the same freshman class on Duquesne's football team, and he was a kicker. And as a freshman, as a first-year player, and I think any level of NCAA, like collegiate athlete of any kind, you have to hit a certain number of hours of study hall per week. It's just like you have to have this allocated, like supervised, like these kids are in here doing their homework kind of thing. Except nobody is. Nobody's doing their homework. And I saw JD making beats in, like, the study hall hours one time. So I went over and I was like, bro, you make beats? And he was like, you make beats? And I was like, I'm not that good. And he's like, well, me either. And we kind of, like, we started, like, just hanging out and making beats in the dorm rooms. I'd go up to his room because he had speakers at the time before I did. I was just using headphones. And, and that's how I learned to use, like, the program he used was Logic, and I was using FL at the time, and he kind of learned FL because he was working with me, and I learned Logic because I was working with him. And me and JD eventually are the two guys who, when we did get an opportunity to start working out of ID Labs, when a room kind of opened up, and like Eden's like situation was like, okay, well, the guy that was working here just kind of left, like no really 2 week notice or anything. He just kind of like dipped out Friday, took all his stuff, and we kind of slid into the position where we were like, hey, we have never done this before, but we can kind of slide in here and take over this role for you since you don't have anybody else to do it. So we got really lucky there. But yeah, it ended up being me and JD who kind of went in Pittsburgh, really started working together out of the B room and ID.
That's awesome.
Kind of really, like, now the B room there is like, it's booked constantly. It's probably booked 12 to 14 hours a day, literally every day of the week. Crazy.
So, a quick question. Do you have, like, any cool stories of Wiz Khalifa or Mac Miller or anything? Because I know you've worked with some famous people.
Yeah, well, I never met Mac. I started working at ID Lab, which is, like, Mac's Pittsburgh home studio, where he did do, like, he recorded the second half of Self Care. This is a song called Oblivion. He did that there. about the time when I started, but I wasn't there when he was making it. And then he passed about 3 months after I started there.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
I guess there's not a super, super cool Wiz Khalifa story, but I mean, there's some cool stuff, but like, I think something that was really funny to me was the first day I recorded him, he had just came, like he came right from performing at a pit. What was it? It was like a, I don't know, some sort of student gathering thing after a basketball game, or maybe during a halftime of a basketball game, something like that. And he was playing, he did a couple songs on stage. And what was funny, I'd never really heard like the perspective of a really big artist like talking about performing on the stage, because usually you're just from the perspective of being in the crowd watching it happen.
Right. Yeah.
And obviously Wiz is a rapper and has like really fire jewelry and chains and like watches and stuff. And
yeah,
he was talking about being distracted because some girl in the front row was like, wouldn't stop like pointing and talking about like his watch or something, like shining in her eye, and he was forgetting the words. And like, I just thought that was really funny, because you don't think about that, like what's going on in the artist's head when you're at a concert. You're like, oh, he's killing it, this is so sick. But really, he's like, what are the words? This girl in the front row won't stop talking.
Yeah. Yeah, that would definitely happen to me. I get distracted easy.
But yeah, there's some cool stories.
Can you tell us all the famous people that would just shock the Tyrone listeners here that you've worked with?
I was in the studio with Trippie Redd a couple days ago.
Wow, that's
crazy. It was more of like a chilling kind of thing. I mean, he didn't come to hang out with me. He didn't think I was the coolest guy ever, but we were just kind of, there's just me, him, and the guy that owns the studio. We were chilling, and he was just playing some of the stuff he's been working on. Not many people probably know him, but I've been recording like Laquelle lately. He just got signed to Interscope. He's a really, really dope singer, kind of rapper, super hard worker.
Right on.
I've been working with Chevy Woods a decent amount lately.
Yeah.
Then there's like the California, the LA street guys, which I don't expect Tyron listeners to know, but like Draco the Ruler and Desto Dub, they're like really big out here, but on like an underground way. They're not super, super famous. But I mean, Draco just dropped a song with Drake, so like, you know, he's big enough to have a song with Drake.
Yeah. Wow.
But there's probably some people I'm missing. I've recorded a couple songs with 24 Hours. Sosa Man. A lot of the stuff I've done so far is really rap heavy, because that's kind of the funnel I came from Pittsburgh. ID Labs is like a rap heavy studio. So coming out here, a lot of my networking connections is still very rap heavy. But that's fine, because I love rap, but I'm also like out here, so I can get into some more genres and expand a little bit.
Yeah. So like, we, T-Cam was telling us this today, we really don't know what like recorders and musicians and audio engineers do. Can you just like briefly jump into like,
yeah, what, bro, what I can break down really easy.
Yeah. What you do for each artist you work so for.
There's a couple steps in the like record making process, and I can cover them all pretty quickly, because there is some overlap. It's a bit like a Venn diagram, is, you know what I mean? Like one step kind of bleeds into the other, but like they are separate steps. But off rip, the recording engineer is the guy just in charge of the recording mostly. You know what I mean? Like this is kind of what I'm saying. Like it gets into some overlap, because it's also your job to make it sound as good as you can in that moment. You know what I mean? You might only have 20 minutes to make it sound good, because our song might get finished in 20 minutes. So whatever, however long it takes, that's how long you have to try to make it sound as good as you can. And that's kind of like the recording engineer aspect. So that's not you making the beat. That's not you writing any of the song. That's really just you taking the beat and then recording the vocals over it. Or it could be a guitar solo, it could be anything.
Right.
So that's a recording engineer. A mix engineer is the next step after that, where the mix engineer would get that whole file that the recording engineer just made. And then mix engineer's job is to make it sound as good as possible. Like 100% of the best it possibly can get. And then there's a step after that called mastering, which has a lot to do with making it as loud as it needs to be and then polishing it off. And those are the three main sections of being an engineer. And then there's being a producer, which has a lot more to do with, you know, making the beat, maybe writing the song, doing the arrangement. And even there, there's some overlap with being like the recording engineer, because when you're recording, you could be asked to change the order of the beat. You know what I mean? Change it around. And now you're doing arranging. So now I guess you're producing. You know what I mean? And so it's like there's a lot of overlap. But in general, producer makes the beat. The recording engineer records the song. The mixing engineer makes it sound as good as possible. And the mastering engineer gets it ready to put out.
So which one of those positions are you? Where do you fall into those?
I do all of it.
Oh, all right. Hard worker.
Yeah, I do it all. I prepared like two songs too because you told me to. And one of them is just a song I recorded that actually, it's a good example of the recording engineer also being the mixing engineer, because the version of the song that came out was what I did in the studio session. It never got touched after I touched it.
Do you have that ready?
With sticks and with, yeah, I could play it right now if you want.
Yeah, we'll play 30 seconds of it. Give it a listen.
Yeah, cool. Let me play a little 30 seconds here. I'll try to play it from the hook.
Okay.
Into Wiz's part. The song is called Sledge Made It. Kind of like a sledgehammer. Sledge was the producer on it. This is an example. I didn't make the beat, but I recorded it, and the version that came out was my mix. And there is a music video for it if anyone would want to look it up and not hear it through a phone speaker.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll play right now.
Sweet.
Hey, Sledge Made It. You don't know who that is. Hang out the whip and I'm making her baby. Ooh, baby. Hey, Sledge Made It. You don't know who that is. Hang out the window and I'm making her baby. Ooh, baby. Hey, short kid, yo. You want to keep with your skin on the go. Talk about pounds like I turned it up. Don't take a pick, I don't want to pose. And they tell me I'm the man. Ain't my dog, you ain't my fam. Took a life on my neck, yes. But I got a little bread, yes. Ain't no question.
So
you were a part of that, huh?
Yeah, I recorded it, and the mix, all the balancing and stuff I did to try to get it sound as good as possible.
That's pretty. Me too. That's pretty crazy. You're behind the scenes and stuff. Wow.
Like
there's a couple more that are supposed to be coming out here soon that are actually being mixed. Like I recorded this in October of 2019, and the other songs that I'm talking about too. And some of them aren't even out yet that are just now getting like music videos shot for and stuff. So
wow, that's crazy. So
yeah, it can be a long process.
Like what are you working on now? And do you work with anyone there's like a rumor going around Tyrone High here that you work with Cameron Bakshishi. Is he helping out?
Yeah, I do work with Cameron Bakshishi.
Wow.
Yeah, we were actually Cam started producing a little bit probably 2 years after I did, and then I kind of really helped him to fast track on that. And me and Cam actually have some songs we produced for Chevy Woods that should be coming out on, well, not should be, they are going to come out on, Chevy's dropping two back-to-back projects here in the next couple months. I mean, who knows when he'll decide that is, but I was just talking to him about what we're doing. He said they're on it, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. But I've been working a lot lately with DJ Afterthought, who was, well, I guess I should say is, but the pandemic definitely has put a halt on tours and stuff. So, but I mean, he's been like the tour DJ for Earth Gang. He's done 3 Mac Miller tours. He does a lot of like dubstep stuff and, you know, plays festivals and things like that. And he's one of my best friends too. He's a super great guy. And he does artist stuff under his real name, Ryan Haynes. And we have, a full collaborative project on that, like 9 songs. It's just me producing it and him singing. And then we have a couple singles in between. And then we have like kind of the blend of that, which is sometimes him singing, but sometimes it might be, you know, a cappella vocals from some rappers. And it's like EDM music. So I've been doing a lot more EDM music lately. And we've been collaborating on the beats, and that's kind of getting packaged right now and getting pitched to Dead Beats, which is a EDM label, I think out of Australia. But long story short, I've been doing a lot of electronic stuff. A lot of the stuff lately I've been doing is with DJ Afterthought, but I've also you know, I got some work. Me and Cam both have some work that should be coming out with Chevy Woods here soon. So that'll be cool.
Okay.
Wiz is supposed to hop on one of the songs, but I, like, if you know anything about the music industry, like, nothing really happens until it happens, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So we're on the last question here, and for your last question, it's just, where do you hope to be in the next few years? What are your future plans? Like, what do you want to be in this next year coming up?
I definitely want to, like, as much as I love recording, you know, rappers until 8 in the morning through the night, I definitely want to get in a position where I have to record a bit less, and I want to get more kind of into writing rooms, which would be kind of rooms where that sometimes publishing companies put them together, sometimes labels put them together. Sometimes even the artists will put them together, do a little writing camp kind of, and just have a bunch of producers come in. Sometimes a bunch of writers, depends on the kind of artist, and just come in and kind of work on projects, work on songs. Like, because I definitely want to be, I want to be a little bit more instrumental in the creative side. So, I mean, definitely long-term 5 years goal would be nice to have some kind of publishing deal with some sort of benefits where the pub company is getting me into some writing rooms and, you know, it's not a terrible deal where I'm, you know, losing out too much of my percentage of the song or anything. And then I get to, you know, I just kind of get to be a bit more creative because I'm getting into the rooms right now. And the next step is just to start being a bit more instrumental in, you know, the beat making process or the writing process or the arranging process, things like that.
Okay. All right. Well, that's those are all the questions we have for you. So thank you for taking time out of your day to call
yeah,
me
no
and
problem,
Nick here. We hope you have a good time with that music career and hope you meet some more famous people.
Yeah, me too, man. Thanks.
Yep, no problem. Thank you.
All right, if you enjoyed today's podcast, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Music. Thank you for listening.